Welcome to the Westminster Chapel podcast. For more information and to support our mission to London and beyond, please visit westminsterchapel.org.uk.
Okay, thank you so much. Such a warm welcome. It's really, really good to be with you. As Stephen said, my name's Mark. I pastor Hope Church Newham in Stratford in East London, so just slightly east of where we are here. I'm married to Jen and with three amazing children, Grace, who is 13, Amelia, who is 11, and Levi, who is 10. And I'm a Londoner. I've lived in London all my life. I love London. London, as I say to everybody I meet, is the greatest city in the world. You live in, or you're visiting, the greatest city in the world. And Samuel Johnson famously said, I love this quote, he said, if you're tired of London, you're tired of life. Okay? So I just think that is so, so true. So it's an absolute joy and a privilege to be with you. Now, here's a truth for you. Everybody in life wants a miracle of some shape or size. But no one wants to be in a situation that necessitates one. And the problem is you can't have one without the other. And the thing I love about Jesus in the Gospels is we see that nothing is too big for Jesus and nothing is too small for Jesus. So you can see it by the bookends of the miracles in the Gospels. So what's the first miracle? We read the first miracle in the Gospels is Jesus turns water into wine. He really just saves a couple's face. So they're not the laughing stock of their village because they ran out of wine. So nothing's too little. And then last Sunday, we celebrated Easter Sunday, when the grave is empty and Jesus is alive. So nothing is too little and nothing is too big. So everything out fits in between. And so what I'm going to do today is we're going to look at one miracle that Jesus performed in the Gospel of Mark. And the miracle happened in the middle of a storm. And the message that I want to bring to you today is entitled Faith in the Storm. And do you know what I tell Hope Church, which is the church that I have the privilege of pastoring? Do you know what I tell them often? I say, listen, you're in one of three positions. You're either about to go into a storm, you're in a storm, or you've just come out of a storm. They're the three positions that every single one of you are in at the moment. Storms, challenges, difficulties are part of life. So we need faith in the storm. So I'm going to read from Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, and verses 45 to 46. If you've got a Bible, do turn, or turn on your phone, on your app. I think it should come up on the screen as well. And I'm going to be reading from the NIV, the New International Version. So Mark, chapter 6, starting at verse 45. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed in Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. Now, just a little piece of geography. I'm sure most of you know this, but a little bit of geography is that the Sea of Galilee, where this miracle takes place, is 700 feet below sea level. And above, you've got the Mount Hermon mountain range. So it's well known in that region that what you would have is the cold air would hit the warm air, and out of nowhere, these storms would appear. Now, my own real only experience of a storm was about 30 years ago. So 30 years ago, I was in my late teens, and I had the privilege of going on a Prince's Trust yacht, a 77-foot yacht that was crewed by 12 young people and some sailors, some kind of real guys who knew what they were doing. And there was 12 of us young people on this 77-foot yacht, and we went from Southampton to France to the Channel Islands and back. As we were on our way back from France to the Channel Islands, a storm kind of came from nowhere on the English Channel. And it's the only time I've ever been in a storm like this. It's the only experience I have of anything kind of marine or kind of sea-related. And the wind came up, the waves came up. And the thing about this 77-foot yacht is it began to tip. It began to seriously tip like this with the sails up, the wind catching the sails. And, you know, people were really, really sick. You know that whole thing about being sick on sea? It's true, it's green. That whole thing is true. And it was the most kind of scary situation that I'd ever been in on the sea. And you really thought that if you fell into the water in the midst of that storm, you were in serious problems. Now, thankfully, we survived and we got to the Channel Islands. We moored in a little harbor and waited for the storm to die down before we continued our journey on. When you read the Bible, there's three rules, isn't there? Context, context, context. And when we look at the story in Mark's gospel, we want to look, well, what came before and what comes after? Well, what comes before this story that we've just read is Jesus feeding the 5,000. What comes after the storm, we actually read on, and it's Jesus healing the lame and the sick. So let me ask you each a question. Here's a question I want to ask you. Are you in a storm at the moment? Are you in a challenging situation in your life at the moment? Or are you in between two miracles? You see, there's the miracle of the masses, the feeding of the 5,000. There's the storm that we've just read. And then there's the miracle of healing the lame and healing the cripple. So sometimes in life, you have to go through the storm, through the challenges, through the difficulties to get to the miracle, to get to where God wants you to be. So I wonder, maybe think about it slightly differently if you're in a storm. Am I in a storm or am I in between two great things that God is doing? Storms and challenges and difficulties are part of life. And God will use the storms and challenges we face. So I want to pick out four observations from this passage with the title Faith in the Storm. Number one, firstly, it's about courage, not control. So verse 48, we read there that the disciples are straining at the oars, that they're trying to make headway in this storm. They're trying to get through and they don't seem to be getting anywhere. But hold on a minute, what does verse 45 tell us? Verse 45 tells us that Jesus had commanded them to go into the boat. They obeyed Jesus and it led them into the storm. Now, I think sometimes as Christians, as believers, we think, well, if I follow Jesus, if I follow his word, if I follow his promptings, then it will all be easy. It'll all be plain sailing. No, sadly, it won't. Remember the parable that Jesus told about the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man built his house upon the rock, built his house upon Jesus' teachings. His foundation was Jesus. The foolish man built his life upon the things of this world, which just crush and fall and fade away. But building your house on the rock does not mean that you don't experience the rain, the storm, and the troubles. You see, the wise, the godly, the committed, the people of God, they still face the storms. We need to prepare our hearts for the storms of life. And here's one of the ways that we can do that. We can say, well, we are not in control. I don't know about you, but I like to have things planned. I like to have things organized. I like to know where my diary is going. I like to know that my finances are in order. I like to know what is happening and have everything planned out. But then you get the phone call from a doctor. You lose your job out of nowhere. A friend betrays you and lets you down. You see, God wants us to know that we are not in control. Now, Jesus walks on water to his disciples. And verse 49, we read that they think he is a ghost. And in verse 50, Jesus says, no, it's me. Look, it's me. It's Jesus. And you see, you and I can be in the middle of our storms of life. We're dealing with pain, struggles. We're dealing with family life. We're dealing with financial challenges. We're dealing with all kinds of grief, all kinds of anxieties. And it can feel like we can't see Jesus because of the storm that we are in. But let me tell you, Jesus is there. Jesus is there. It reminds me of a story that I once heard of a little boy who was in a house, the second floor, and this house was on fire. And his dad was on the floor, on the ground floor. And he shouted up to his son on the second floor by the window, and the building was smoke and flames, and the dad shouted out, son, jump. And the boy says, Dad, I can't see you. There's the smoke and the flame, I can't see you. But the dad replies, don't worry, I can see you. I can see you. That's Jesus talking to you in your storms and challenges and difficulties. But in the middle of the storm, when Jesus walks on water, what does he say? What does he say? He says, take courage, it is I, verse 50. Now, if I was one of the disciples, I would go, dude, why are you saying kind of take courage? You know, look, the boat is sinking. We're in the middle of a storm. Why are you saying take courage? Can't you stop the storm first? But Jesus says, it is I, take courage. Now listen, this is our story so often. So often we want Jesus to still the storm first and then take courage. But that's not how faith works. That's not how faith works. Because as we read in verse 50 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, take courage comes first. And it's not take control. You see, this is a journey of faith. Faith is a journey of courage. And a storm reminds us that we are not in control. What can we do? We can take courage. We can take a step of faith, but we can't take control. You see, control is God's responsibility. Courage, that's my responsibility. Take courage. Walk through your trials. Walk through your difficulties. Take courage. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture is Joshua 1, verse 9. Where there it says, be strong, be courageous, do not be discouraged, because the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That was said to Joshua just before he went and took the promised land. What did God want Joshua to have? Courage. He didn't know what lay ahead. He didn't know what battles and giants he would face. But God says to him, take courage. I believe for some of you today, this is absolutely key. It's what you need to hear. You need to say, Lord, I want to take courage. I want supernatural courage to help me in my struggles and in the storm and in the difficulties of life that I'm facing. Second observation. There is new revelation in the storm. So Jesus gets into the boat and immediately the storm stops. Just going to read a couple of verses from Matthew's Gospel, 14, verses 32 to 33. It's the same account of the same event, but written by Matthew. Matthew 14, 32 to 33. Jesus immediately reached out and he says, you have little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Can you see? It took the storm for the disciples to realize that Jesus was divine. And immediately, it says that word, immediately, the storm stopped. The wind and the waves died down. Now, I don't know about you, but Christians and me, I fall into that category. We're obsessed with the suddenly, the instantly. God, come and do your work now. Come and stop my storm now. Come and do my miracle now. Now, I'm all for the now, but do you know how God usually works? God's usually at work in the gradually and the patiently and the consistently and the faithfully. God moves suddenly for those who are consistent and faithful. We haven't got time to go into this, but the Bible tells us that there is the chronos timing of God, the chronos way that God works, which is through the consistent, through the regular, and through the faithful. And then there is the kairos moment of God, the suddenly, when God comes and acts. And it's important as Christians and as the church, that we realize this, that when we are coming to church regularly as God's people to worship, when we are reading our Bibles, when we are praying, when we are serving, we are doing the chronos, the slowly, the faithfully, the plodding, the week in, week out, in the ups and the downs. We are faithfully, faithfully serving the Lord. And then there will come a time when the immediately comes in. We follow God in the consistent and the faithful, and then at some point, the breakthrough will come. It could be that for many months, many years, you are struggling with ideas about your future, ideas about what it is that God has called you to do, but you're faithfully serving, you're faithfully reading scripture, you're faithfully praying, and then suddenly, the revelation will come, the idea will come, the opening, the opportunity will come. Or you feel like your relationship with God is dull, it doesn't have anything fresh about it, but you're still faithfully reading his word, you're still faithfully praying, you're still faithfully going about God's business, and then suddenly, one day, like any other, suddenly an understanding will open up. A freshness of God's word and God's spirit will come into your life and it will catapult you to a new revelation of his love for you. You persevere in prayer. You don't give up. You keep praying. You hold on to the promises of God day in, day out. It doesn't seem like anything is happening, but then one day the miracle comes. The breakthrough comes. The salvation of the person that you've been praying for years, it happens. It happens. The disciples were straining. The disciples were struggling. They were battered by this storm. They were not in control. And then Jesus comes into the boat, and immediately the storm settles. and they worship Jesus. Now, just to say, it's very good to worship Jesus after a miracle. The challenge is to worship Jesus in the storm. That's the challenge. But it took a storm for the disciples to have revelation and understanding about who Jesus was. Now, verse 52, you may be wondering about it. Verse 52 says, they had not understood about the loaves. Now, remember the context. What had just happened? What had just happened was Jesus had fed the 5,000. But the disciples hadn't understood the significance of that miracle. They hadn't understood that Jesus multiplying from a little boy's lunchbox to feed 5,000 people and all the extra baskets left over, that was a multiplying from nothing. That was a miracle of creation that only God could do. And then the wind and the waves, they obey Jesus, the Lord of all creation. And finally, the light bulb is on. Finally, they understand. They didn't understand about the loaves and fishes, but they do understand now about the calming of the storm. It is I. It is Jesus. It is I. It is the great I am. That's what Jesus is saying. Kind of bells would have gone bing, bing, bing in the disciples' head because they would have remembered Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. When God reveals himself to Moses as the great I am. And here Jesus is saying, look, it is me, the great I am, the one whom the wind and the waves obey. There is this new revelation that comes in the storm. Now let me bring it home to you. You know, many of you here today will be going through trials, pain, suffering, difficulties. But let me encourage you. In those storms, there is new revelation of who God is. You won't know that Jesus is the healer until you are sick. You won't know that Jesus is the restorer until you're heartbroken. You won't know that Jesus is the deliverer until you are set free from addiction. You won't know that Jesus is the Savior until you realize your sinfulness. You see, in the storms, the struggles, the pain of life, there is new revelation of who God is. Okay, third observation from this passage. In the storm, there is an opportunity for audacious steps of faith. Storms and problems are a platform for God to show up. Let's go back to Matthew's account. Matthew's account of the same event that we read in Mark 6. Matthew's account has some other information there. It's not just Jesus, you see, who walks on water. Peter also walks on water. This is Peter, the angry, impulsive, messed up disciple. Peter sees Jesus and says, is that really you, Jesus? And Jesus says, come. I love that. I love that. Because that one word is the gospel. Come. Come to me, Jesus said. Come to me, all who are weary and heavily laden. Come. Come to me. Now, Peter starts to walk on water. We know he starts to actually do and walk upon water. But verse 30 tells us he saw the wind and he starts to sink. It's interesting. He says he saw the wind. You can't see the wind, can you? You can only see the effect of the wind. But verse 30 says that Peter saw the wind and he starts to sink. Now, faith in the kingdom of God comes through hearing. This is really important. And you know, when it comes to walking by faith, I think we need to be better at closing our eyes and opening our ears. We need to hear the word of God and cling to it and not be put off by what we see. Faith is hearing from the Lord and then responding to it, stepping out in faith. And it's not dependent upon what you see, it's what you have heard from the Lord. And the other thing about faith is one step at a time. I think sometimes, again, as Christians, we kind of think faith is getting from here to here, where God has promised or God has spoken to us. Yeah, that may be the destination, but faith is about taking one step. And then it's about taking another step. And then it's just about not going backwards and standing your ground. And then it's about taking another step. You know, that's what the life of faith is. It's one step at a time. It's responding to what we hear, and it's not about what we see. So in this storm, Peter has the audacity to step out and walk on water. I mean, stop and think about it for a moment. He didn't walk on water when it was all calm. That's what you think would be the time, don't you? That Peter would walk on water when it's kind of flat as a mill pond. On a calm day, right, now I can walk on water because it's flat and I can, you know. But he tries, he takes a step of faith in the middle of a storm. I think for some of us here, we think, I can't take a step of faith because I'm going to wait until things are calm. No. God will say to you, if God is speaking to you about taking a step of faith, you take that step of faith. You're in the middle of a storm, we'll take that step of faith. Now, Peter opened his eyes and he began to sink. In verse 31 of Matthew 14, Jesus says, O you of little faith. Now, I love this. This is so encouraging to me because according to Jesus, I mean, just stop and think about this. According to Jesus, Peter walked on water with a little bit of faith. So if that's a little bit of faith, what could you do with an average amount of faith? I don't know. What could you do? You see, it's never about the size of your faith. It's always about your view of Jesus. It's always about your size of how you view God. That's what faith is about. Because Jesus says it's faith as small as a mustard seed can move a mountain. So the faith is small, but what's your view of God? Do you believe that all things are possible? Do you believe that Jesus has truly defeated the grave? Do you believe that Jesus truly has authority over Satan and over death and over your sin? Peter walks on water in the middle of a storm. He took an audacious step of faith at a challenging time. I tell you, for some of you, I really believe God is speaking to you about this because you are putting off taking a step of faith because you are waiting for the storm to die down. And Jesus says, no, I want you to take a step of faith now. I want you to be bold now. I want you to be courageous now. I want you to take that step now in the midst of the storm. Now, there's one other thing about this that fascinated me. So we know in Sunday school that everyone loves telling the story of Peter walking on the water. So why isn't the part where Peter walks on water, why isn't that in the Gospel of Mark? Well, I think it's because Mark was a disciple of Peter. Matthew, we just read Matthew 14, Matthew was a disciple who was there. He was an eyewitness. He saw what happened. So he recounts and he writes down Peter walking on water. But Peter dictated to Mark what had happened, and Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark. Now, let's be honest. If that was me, if I was Peter, and I was there, I'd want it written down. I'd want people to know. Look, I was there. It was crazy. There was this huge storm. The wind, they were kind of howling. The waves, they were 6 feet tall. I saw Jesus in the distance. So I was like, yo, Jesus, this way. It's me, Peter. Look, I'll get out of the boat and I'll come to you. And you should have seen me. Oh man, you should have seen me that night. I mean, Jesus was awesome. Yeah, he was amazing. But I was just a little bit under that. I wasn't bad at all. I got 20 steps before I sunk. That's 20 more steps than any of the other disciples. Man, I was good. Man, I walked on the water. Talk about good. Top of the class for the disciples of Jesus. But when Peter tells the story through Mark, he leaves out the part of walking on the water. Peter leaves himself out. Why? Why does he leave himself out? I think it's because he wants it to be about the revelation of Jesus more than himself. Because Jesus is always what it's about. You see, some of us, we're in a storm. We're in a challenge. And what happens is God gives us courage and we take a step of faith. And God does a miracle in us and through us. And it's wonderful. But then there's a little temptation that some of us fall into, which is we then end up talking about us and what we did more than Jesus and what Jesus did. You see, that's what Peter does. Through the Gospel of Mark, he doesn't talk about himself at all. He focuses on Jesus as the one who calms the storm. He focuses on the great grace of the one who came to save. So church, when we take steps of faith, when we see God use us powerfully, when we see breakthrough, we're to always make it about Jesus. Final observation. Jesus comes to you. In the storm, Jesus comes to you. This is so obvious that we sometimes miss it. Jesus comes through the storm to the disciples. And listen, that is the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to you. Jesus left the safety of heaven to come to earth to seek and save the lost. Jesus comes through our addictions. He comes through our pain. He comes through our sin. He comes through our past to find each one of us. He comes and he walks through our anxiety. He walks through our failed marriages. He walks through our doubt and our fears to find each one of us. Jesus comes to you. I think sometimes we think we have to battle our way to Jesus. No, he comes to you. He is there. You may not be able to see him in the wind and the waves and the haze and the storm of life, but he is there. Jesus has come to you. So storms are a part of life. Remember what I said at the beginning? You're either about to go into a storm, you are currently in a storm, a challenging time of your life, or you've just come out of a storm. That is the reality of life. We need to find faith in the storm. As believers, that is what we are called to do. To find courage in the storm. Because in the storm, there is fresh revelation of who God is. In the storm, we are to take steps of faith, responding to what God has spoken to us about. And all the while, we are to know that Jesus comes to you. In the storm, Jesus comes to you. What we're going to do is this. The band are going to come up in a moment and we're going to sing together. We're going to sing about Jesus being our cornerstone, Jesus being our rock in times of trouble. We're going to stand in a moment and we're going to sing that together. And then off the back of that, there's two responses that I'm going to bring. Because out of this message, I believe that for some of us here, there's a response that we need to make. So if you would, why don't you stand? I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to sing. All together, we're going to sing about Christ alone being our cornerstone, our rock in times of trouble, the one that we cling to in the challenging seasons and the challenging times of life. So let's pray before we come and worship, and then before we respond to the Lord. Lord Jesus, you know each and every person in this room. Lord Jesus, you know the storms that we are facing, the storms that we are in, the storms that we have just walked out of. You know them. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that you come to us in the storm. Lord, I pray as we respond to you through worship, as we respond to you through kind of taking steps of faith in a moment and specifically responding to what the Lord is challenging us about. Father, I thank you that the truth is this. You are always with us in the storm. We are never alone. The Lord is with you in your pain, your struggles, your sufferings, the difficulties that you are facing. So Lord, come and meet with us. Thank you that you are the rock of ages. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the one we build our life upon. That doesn't mean the storms won't come, but it means that we are secure in the truth of your love for us, your promises spoken over us, and the future that we have in you. So Lord, come and meet with us as we worship and as we respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship and then let's be ready to respond.
Thanks for listening to Sermon Audio from Westminster Chapel. If you'd like to partner with us in making disciples and sharing the gospel, please consider making a one-off or regular donation. Visit westminsterchapel.org.uk/giving to find out how.